Let's begin. Tonight's daf is daf Lamed Aleph. I think what the plan is going to be is, since I'm not around Thursday night, let's try to do a blot and a half tonight and a blot and a half tomorrow night, and we'll do a 3 blot in the next 2 daf. You'll see it goes very quickly. If it gets too long, then we'll just stop it, and then we'll figure that out afterwards. But we'll do the same Monday night still. Okay, so let's get to the bottom. Lamed Aleph Bay is the new parak. This is what, the fourth parak now, right? So the third parak.
Fourth.
It's for the parak. This is the fourth parak. Okay. So the mission begins. La yu kofsin es atle el makidin. They wouldn't tie up the tle in the regular way. El makidin also. They do some form of akedah. The Gemara is going to explain what does that mean to be do akedin. So misha zocha bevarim. Whoever was zocha to take the evarim. So ochsin bosa. He would hold on to the evarim of the sheep. So this is how the akedah was done of the animal. Rosh Ladarum. So the head of the animal was towards the south. He was facing to the south this way. Upanam lamar, but they twisted the head of the sheep facing towards the west. And even though the body was situated towards the south, the head was facing towards the west. Vashochet omid b'mizrach. Now the shochet would stand on the eastern side of the animal. And this all took place in the north, by the way. The Tamanat had to be shechted to the north. So let's just build the base of Mikdash for 1 second here. So again, behind me is the east, north, west, and south. So right in the center is the Mizbech. The north of it is where they did the Shechita. So on the north, the cow would be facing south. The body would be that way, but the head would be turned towards the west. The Shechita would be standing on this side, the eastern side of the sheep. And then the Mishnah says, Upan of Lamarif, and he was facing towards the west, towards the Kodesh Kadashim. Shalshachar hayanishchat al keren tzfonis maravis. In the morning, when they shechted the Talmud Shalshachar, they shechted on the northwestern corner. So northwest would be in the north, but towards the west. So in the north area, would be closer to the Kodesh Kedashim. That northwestern area is where they shechted. Al tabash shnia on the second ring. There are a number of rings. I think there were 8 rings in the northern part of the Mizbeach. So not the first ring, the most western wing, but the second one away from the most western ring is where they would shecht the sheep in the morning. And the Gemara is going to explain why it was that way in the morning, and Shabbain Harbaim in the afternoon. Again, I apologize, I have a candy in my mouth. I have a very bad sore throat, so I apologize for sucking candy during this year. But so fine. Misha says Shabbain Harbaim in the evening, the Talmud Shabbain Harbaim, they would shecht it on the northeastern corner, which would be this area here, Al Tabashni, up in the second ring from the end. Then Shachar HaShochet, then the Shochet would shecht the sheep, the Kibbal HaMakabel, and the Makabel would be a separate Kohen who would catch all the dam. He's supposed to catch all the blood from the sheep. Balo LaKaren Mizrachis Tzfonis. Now the Makabel would do Holacha. There's four avodas when it comes to any carbon. There's the Shechita, then there's the Kabbalah, there's the Holacha, and then there's the Zrika. So one guy did the Shechita, which Shechita can be done by anybody, right? Even a Tzar could do Shechita. So the Shochet did the Shechita. Mekabel caught the blood and he walked over to the Mizbeach now, which was in the center of the Azara. He would come to the Keren Mizrachis Tzvonis, the northeastern Mizbeach. So that's where he was right near. The northern part of Mizbeach, but the eastern corner here. He'd come to this corner here. No say Mizracha Tzvonis. Then he'd place the blood on that north. He wouldn't climb the ramp. He'd be standing on the floor. And he'd pour some of the blood, sprinkle some of the blood on that northeastern corner of the Mizbeach.
Is this both the Shalshachar and the Narbaim the same thing?
The same thing, exactly. The only difference is where they're shechting it, but every other process is going to be the same. So then, after he rubs blood on that corner, then he goes to Maravis Dromis, the southwestern, which would be the opposite corner over there, the south, but towards the west. He'd go to that corner, and then he'd rub Nosin Marava Droma, then he'd place blood on the southwestern corner. Then the rest of the blood, the Shiari Hadam, this Ayashovich al Yesod Dromus. He'd pour it on the southern Yesod. Now, what the Yesod is, the Gemara explains to us in Zvachim and elsewhere that on the bottom of the Mizbeach there was a Yesod, a little platform that stood out, and it would catch the southwestern corner over there. That's the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach. It wrapped itself around towards the northeastern corner. It would stop there. Every corner had, except for the southeastern corner, did not have a yesod. It has to do, the Gemara in Zvachim explains that Binyamin and Yehuda shared parts of the Mizbeach, that Binyamin, it says, Bein Ksefav, he was always shochem Bein Ksefav, he was always crouching over Yehuda, because Yehuda dipped into Binyamin's chelek and took some of that mizbeach away. So only the part where the Binyamin had a chelek and it was where there is Yesod. And there's a deep connection in Pnimius, because Yesod is connected Midas, right? Yosef, Tzadik, Yesod. Yosef and Binyamin were, of course, brothers. Has to do with Yesod and Binyamin related to Yitzhak is why only Binyamin's chelek has the Yesod, as opposed to Yehuda's chelek did not have a Yesod. So either way, so he'd go when the Kohen would do the sprinkling on that bottom south western corner, then he'd spill the rest of the dam on the south part of the Yisod, which wrapped around this part of the Mizbeach. That's where he'd pour the rest of the dam. The dam from there would go down to this middle, the amma they had in the center, which brought all the blood together, which take it outside of the base of Mikdash. Okay, then the Gemara says, now the Mishnah continues, we're in the top of Daf Lamed Aleph now. The Mishnah says, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, Lo Haya Shover Boas Aregel, they wouldn't break the leg after they shechted it, ela nokvo mitoch arkuvo. They make a hole inside the arkuvo. I'm not sure which part of the leg is arkuvo.
The heel.
I guess it should really be akev. It should be
higher than the heel.
Higher than the heel. Because akev would be a heel. Arkuvo, they say, is higher than the knee.
Yeah.
What's the actual translation?
The picture.
It's
what? The patella.
The batala. That means nothing to me. Okay. Okay. Fine. The tolobo, and they'd hang it, the animal from that part of the knee would be hanging there in the base of Mikdash after been shechted. Then they'd start to skin the animal, the sheep, the yord ad shemagia lechaze. They'd go down until they got to the chest area. They'd skin all the way down to the sheep, it would be hanging there. They got to that area, to the chest, then chatach hasarosh. Then they'd cut off the head. The head was still dangling. It was shechted, it was open, but they chopped off the head entirely. Then they'd hand that head of the sheep over to whoever was zocha in the rosh. And chasach as a krayim, then they cut out, what's the krayim? Those are the legs, right? They hand it over to whoever was zocha in that part of the sheep. And marak is a hefshet. So what does marak mean? Anyone know what marak means? It means to complete. It means to complete. The one, the mission Yuma says, umark is a shechita as well. You'd complete the skinning in this case. In the mission Yuma talks about mark is a shechita. Here it means mark is a hefshet. After they cut off the head, then they finish skinning the sheep towards the rest of the body. Then they'd kares alev, they'd tear the heart. Vahoti is dambo, and all the blood would come pouring out. Chasech is a dime, then they cut off the hands of the sheep, v'nasan l'misha zocha behen, and hand them over to whichever kohen was zocha to bring the yadayim. Ola l'regel hayamanis, then they'd go to the right leg, chascha, they cut off the right leg of the sheep, v'nasan l'misha zocha, and hand it over to whichever kohen was zocha. U'shtei beitim ima, and there's two beitim with that leg. And then karo v'nimsa kulagali, then they'd rip open the inside of the stomach of the sheep, v'nimsa kulagali, the entire animal was exposed, l'fanov. Not as a ped, I'm going to need some help with some of these terms here. The various fats, which area it's around, does it say which ones, which part of the body it's near? In the stomach, whatever fats he sees, okay. The nasal base hashchitas harosh, then you take that fat and cover the top of the sheep where the head was cut off, milamala. And not as a krivai, and then you take out the intestines, I think, right? The nasnan lemisha zachab, and he'd hand the intestines to whoever was zocher, lahadichem, he would wash the intestines. The akeres madichin osa bebeis hamadichin, and what, the stomach, he would take out and he would wash in the area called beis hamadichin. Umadichin osa kol tarcha, and clean it as much as it needed. The krevayim madichin osa shlosh pabim, the krevayim, the intestines, they would wash at least 3 times. Bimutan shal shachano shal shayish shebein hamudim. They would wash them on top of these marble tables that were between the different pillars in the beis hamikdash. Imagine they have a picture here where that was. I think it's in the north part. No, I don't see any picture. It's in the north, right? Okay. Ah, okay. What was that? Basement
of
Sechem?
Yeah. Which is near the ring.
Exactly, right? Which is in the north of the Mizbeach. Exactly.
Okay.
Which what mean?
The word Meutan.
I thought it meant at least.
Which word?
The Meutan.
Yeah, at least 3 times. Okay, now the Mishnah says, not as a sakin, they then take a knife, the hifrish is a rea, min hakaved, and they separate the lungs from the kidney, right? I mean the liver. The etzba hakaved min hakaved, and they separate some part of the liver from the actual liver. V'haya maziza b'mkomo. They wouldn't remove it, they just sever it. Nokev as a chazer, then they place a hole in the chest. V'nasa l'misha zachaba, they'd hand it over to whoever was zocha in it. And all of the dofen himanis. Then they'd go to the right rib cage.
What does it mean? They made a hole in they just made a hole in the chest, or they did it to take something out?
What was the point of the hole in the chest? Let's see.
They would take it out from between the ribs. They would pull it out.
But what's the point of the hole he's asking?
Be able to pull it out.
I think it's remove it. Okay.
Why?
Pull what out?
You make a hole in the ribs and you pull the chazeh from beneath the ribs. And then, although the dofen yamanis, then you go to the right rib cage. Then you cut through until you hit the spine. But you wouldn't actually touch the spine. Until you got to the two smaller ribs. That's how they'd slice through the ribs into the spine. Then they cut that area off. And then they hand that right rib cage over to whichever kohen was zocheh in it, va'kaved tuliyah ba, and the liver would be hanging from that right rib cage. Bala lagara, what's the gara? That means the neck area.
Yeah.
Okay. And haniach ba shet shlalos mikan u'shet shlalos mikan, and they have two ribs from one side, two ribs on the other side from the neck. Chaschav v'nasa l'misha zachaba, and then hand it over to whichever kohen was zocheh in that. Hakana of Halev, Areya, Tulimba, and then on that, the kana, the windpipe, and the heart, and the lungs would be hanging on that part. Then, Balo Ladofen, smallest, and they'd start working on the left rib cage. Haniach, Bashet, Shlaus, Dakos, Milaman. They leave two ribs on the bottom of the rib cage. Bashet, Shlaus, Dakos, Milamatan, and two from the top, two from the bottom. The Kachaya, Meniach, Bechaverta. And that's where they leave on the other side, I guess, the parallel rib cage on the right as well. Okay. And then nimsa maniach shtaim milmalan shtaim milmatan. So each rib cage, after you remove the different parts, there are still two ribs on the bottom on each side and two ribs on the top of each side. Then what would happen? They'd cut the left rib cage out, v'nasa l'misha zachaba, and hand it over to the kohen. V'ashidra ima, and the spine would come along with this left rib cage. V'atchul toliba. What's the tchul? The spleen. Be hanging on it. V'aisa gedola, and this was heavier than the right rib cage. Elisha yamin karin gedola, even though the left was actually heavier, they referred to the yamin, the right one, as the gedola. Why should kavet tuliyaba? Since the liver was attached to the right one, that was more chashiv, it had the title of gedola, even though it wasn't actually heavier than the left one. So then the Mishnah says, Bala le'okits, and get to the tail. The chascha, they cut off the tail, v'nasa le'misha zachaba, hand it to that koi next. Shazachaba. And then Ha'elya, the etzba kaved ushe klayos imo. And along with that, the Elya is really part of the tail, I thought, right?
The fatty part?
It's the fatty part of the tail? Okay. And then along with that, he would get the etzba la kaved. Again, that some finger is part of the liver. And the two kidneys along with it. Not as a regular hasmolos. Then they take the left leg, chaska cut it, v'nasa l'misha zachaba, and hand it to the kohen. So Nimsu, from all this we see, Kum Omdim Bishura, now all the Kohanim are lined up with the various Eivarim in their hands, Eivarim V'Adam, and then Harishon B'Rosh, who's number one in the line, the one holding their head, Rosh, he's the first Kohen. So he's the first one, B'Rosh B'Rega, he'd be holding on to the head and the right leg. And then HaRosh B'Amino V'Chotmo Klape Zro'o, so the head would be in his right hand, and the nose would be towards his arm, he's holding it down, facing onto his arm, and Karnav Bein Etzmosav, and the hands would be holding between his horns of the sheep. Beishchitasa Milman, and the head, the area where it was cut rather, where it was severed from the body, would be facing upwards. Vapader Nasan Aleh, and that's where the fat was placed upon it. That's on the right hand. Haregel Shel Yamin Bismol. Now the right leg of the animal was in the Kohen's left hand, the same one who was holding the Rosh in the right hand, who was holding the left leg, rather the right leg. In his left hand. Ubeis Oran Lachutz. And what does that mean? The area where it's close to the skin was on the outside. So I'm not sure which part of the leg that's going to be.
Well, for the leg, we have the inside of the leg and the outside of the leg.
But the skin are all over the leg, so.
facing the outer part as compared to facing towards the center, the inner part of the leg.
So the leg is like this. So he holds the leg which way? The foot, the leg is facing outwards,
it's
or
facing the part that everybody would see is facing
outwards.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, I do. Oh, I should look at these pictures. Which page? Which here? The picture one, Aleph?
Yeah.
I can't see the legs though. I can't see how the leg is. Okay. All right. I see the head. I see the head.
The side where the cut had been made faced his face towards his hand.
Okay. Where the cut was made. Okay. I see. And then the Mishnah says further now. Hasheni, the second Kohen, b'shtei yadayim shayamin b'yamino. So the two hands of the yamin, there's only one hand in the right. What's that case there? Let's see. He would hold the two hands. The right hand would be in his right hand, and the left hand of the animal would be in the Kohen's left hand. And here too also, the area of the skin would be towards the outside. Ashlishi, the third Kohen, Be'oket, would be holding on to the Oket Beregel. Ha'oket b'yamino, the tail would be in his right hand. Ve'elya b'medudelas bein etbosav. The tail then would be hanging between his fingers. Ve'etzba kaved v'shtei klayos imo. And along with that would be the liver and the two kidneys. And then haregel shall small bismol. And the left leg of the animal would be in this third Kohen's left hand. Ubeis aron l'chutz, again, the part where we're severed would be inside and the skin part would be towards the outside. Harvi, the fourth Kohen, b'chaze b'garab, he would hold the chest area and the neck. Hachaze b'yamino, the chest would be in the right hand. Hagarab bismol would be in the left hand. B'talosa b'ein shnei atzbosav, and the ribs would be between his two fingers. Hachamishi, the fifth Kohen, would be b'shtei defanos shayamim, b'shtei defanos, both sets of rib cages. Yamin shayamin b'yamino, the right rib cage would be in his right hand. B'shel small, the left rib cage would be b'smol, would be in his left hand. U'beis aron l'chutz, again the same thing, the skin area would be towards the outside. Hashishi, the sixth Kohen, the b'krevayim, would be holding on to the intestines. Hanesunim b'bazech, it would be placed in some type of keli, because it's avid, a lot of it is hard to just carry that around. All the intestines would be placed in a bazech and held by the Kohen. U'krayam agaveim, and the legs, where the feet were on top of it, milamala, above the intestines. Hashri, the seventh Kohen, the solus would be holding on to the flour. Hashmini, the eighth Kohen, would be chavitim, also parts of the carbon, the mincha that accompanied the carbon tamid. Hachi, the ninth Kohen, would be holding on to the yayin for nisach hayayin. So that's the long line of nine Kohen we have in a row. Holchu, then they would begin to walk towards Mizbeach, v'nasim mechatzi kevesh ulamata. They then start lining the Evarim up on the ramp, the bottom half of the ramp, b'maravo, on the western part of the bottom half of the ramp. U'malchum, and then they would salt them. We know every single carbon requires melech on it. So then the yardu, then they'd come down. Now it's time to say Shema. They left the Evarim on the ramp waiting there. They go to Lichas HaGazis and recite Zman, Kriya Shema.
Physically very strong.
Yeah. Well, also sheep. A sheep isn't that big. A sheep. So. What? Yeah. For the exactly the Mishnah says in Yuma you need, I forget however much it is, but it's a lot more for, yeah. The cow's huge. Sheep's a small sheep. And so how old is a sheep? What's the pasuk say? What?
A
year old, right? So it's not very big. So now imagine cut up in nine parts, or really six parts, it makes it much lighter. What? It's a type of a keli that they use. They place the intestines in a pot of some sort.
A basin.
Okay, all right. A basin which you gather all the intestines in, so you don't lose them. Okay. Marnal says Tana Yad v'Regel Kedas Yitzchak ben Avram. And they would tie the animal together, the hands and legs all together, like they did for Yitzhak ben Avram. Now, it's interesting to know. We know who Yitzhak's father was, of course. Now, whenever we say Yitzhak, whenever it's in the context of the Akedah, the Gemara always mentions Yitzhak ben Avram. It says it here. It says it in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. It says it in many places. Whenever it's mentioned in the context of Akedah, it says Yitzhak ben Avram. And the obvious answer is because both of them were involved in the Akedah. It says Yachtov in the Pasuk many times. So both Yitzhak and Avram were involved in the Akedah. So that's why we always say Yitzhak ben Avram. So then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, they would not tie down the Tleh, my time, but what's the reason they wouldn't tie the tleh down? So Rav Huna, Rav Chista had a machlokas. Chad amar mishum bizayon kachim. It's disgraceful to have a kachim being tied down. The Chad amar, the other opinion thinks mishum dimhalech b'chukei ha'am, and that's what the goyim would do. So because of chukas akum, we did not want to do that. So my binai, what's the nafkamina between these two different reasons? The difference is the kofsa bishirai. If you use some type of fancy cloth, some silk of some sort, so then that would not be considered bizayon. It's a very nice way, but if it's tied down, it's still considered chukas akum. Inami, alternatively, behuta b'dedahava, if you have some type of gold rope, which is a similar idea, which also it's very nice, there's no bizayon if you're using gold, but since in the end of the day it's being tied down, that would be subject to the problems of chukas akum. So Gemara now quotes a Mishnah which of course is not, it's actually not Midos, it's Maseches Shkalim, this Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Tanan Hasim Shalosh Esrei Shulchanos Hayu B'Mikdash. There were 13 tables throughout the entire Beis HaMikdash. So where do you find these Shulchanos? Shmona Shel Shayish Shayish B'Beis HaMitpachim Shaleim Madichin Zakrevayim. There were 8 marble tables in the northern part of Mizbeach, which is where they washed the different intestines and the stomach. That's 8. Shayim B'Maravel Shel Kevesh. And then there were another 2 on the western part of the ramp. So this is the Mizbeach here. The western part closer to the Kodesh Kodashim, they had another 2 on the western part of the ramp. Echad Shel Shayish, one was made of marble. Echad Shel Kesef, one was made of silver. So what were these used for? Shel Shayish, Nosin Esayivarim. They place the various limbs on top of the marble table there. V'al Shel Kesef Klisharis. And on top of the silver table, they would place the klisharis.
The klisharis is where they put the intestines, am I correct?
No, okay, I thought they washed all the intestines on the 8 tables above the north of the Mizbech. I don't think this is used for the krevayim. Let's look at the mefarish here. Did he tell us what they're used for? It doesn't say what the purpose was, at least in the mefarish. Let's see here. It says here, they place the varm of a carbon yachid until it's ready for the carbon yachid to be brought up. And on Kesef is where they place the 93 different kalim that we mentioned in yesterday's Mishnah. That's where they would stay. There'd be, I guess, must have been a huge table then. You had 93 kalim left there.
The notes seem to say that for a private olam, it would only be one coin that would do the, it would leave the limbs on the table of marble.
So it must be large tables. The carbon yachid was on the marble table, and the 93 kalim were on the silver table. Okay. So then the Mishnah says further, as quoted by the Gemara here. So that's, we have a total of 10 tables, but we're still looking for 3 more. So then we have, here we go here, bu'ulam, in the larger hallway. That's when you get closer, when you leave the azar, you're going towards the heichal. So there's a ulam there. There's shnayim mibifnim. There are 2 tables inside the ulam. Al pesach habayis, on the entrance into the bayis, and as you get closer towards the Kodesh Kodashim, echad shel kesef, echad shel zav. One was silver, one was gold. Al shel kesef nosin le'echem apanim b'knisaso. When they bake the challah, they first place them on the silver table until it gets onto le'echem apanim. Val shel zav b'tziaso. Then there'd be another golden table where, when they remove the le'echem apanim, they place them on the golden table until the kohanim would divide up the le'echem apanim. Why is it that way? So the way it works is when you bake the lechem upon him, it's first placed on a silver table, then it goes on to the golden lechem upon him, then when it's removed, it's placed on a week later, it's placed on another, it's a golden table. So why are you going in that direction? So of course, the Mishnah tells us, because Shemalin, Bekodesh, V'lamarid, then we go up in value, go up in level, rather.
What's the first table?
When after they baked it, they place it on the silver table until it's ready to be put onto the lechem, onto the shulchan. The way it worked was, they had 12 loaves of bread and lechem upon him, and the Pasuk says it has to be tamen, it has to always be there. So the Mishnah in Menachos is Machlokes, what does tamen mean? So the Tanakhama says tamen means the Kohanim, they had 2 sets of Kohanim. One set would be pushing the new lechem upon him onto the table, and the other ones would fall off the other end, so you had other Kohanim catching them. So it wasn't a moment in time that did not have the lechem upon him. So before you did that process, the bread was baked in place on the silver table. When it's time, they picked it up, pushed it off, and then this Kohanim caught the lechem apanim and placed it on the golden table, and then they divided it up. There's the other opinion of Rabbi Yossi. I think it's Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah Menachos says that, no, tamen means it can't be a day without it. You could have that the Kohen removes the lechem apanim first thing in the morning, and it could be empty all day long. As long as before nightfall, the new lechem apanim come on the shulchan, you've still fulfilled the din of tamid on the shulchan. It's an important mishnah there because the Gemara ends up connecting it to the discussion of learning all day long. The Higisa Bayom Valayla, does that mean to learn day and night? Does that mean constantly? There's a chiyuv to learn every single second? Or no? You say Shema once in the morning, you say Shema once at night. That's considered tamid as well, just like we have Rashita's Rabbi Yossi when it comes to the Shulchan Balechem Apanim. Okay, either way, those are two other tables that we have in the Mizbeach, so that in the Beis HaMikdash, that gives us a total of 12 now. So where's the 13th? So then the Mishnah says, Echad Shazav Bifnim Shalav Lechem Apanim Tamid. So now the final table was the Shulchan that we speak of, that the Mishkan had the Shulchan, that Shulchan when the Lechem Apanim stayed on, that was the 13th table that we find in the Beis HaMikdash.
Was it Mahamish from gold or was it faded?
Mamish from gold. I believe so.
Because the
Aron had, yeah. I'm pretty sure it's full of gold, yeah. Okay, the Gemara wants to know now. Michti. Ein aniyas b'makom ashiyus. We have a few places in the Gemara where it says there's no poverty in a place of wealth like the Beis HaMikdash. There's so much wealth in the Beis HaMikdash. Why do they have to have amai avdi d'sheish? Why do they ever make a table of marble? Very nice. But Navdeh dissolve, make it of silver, make it of gold, which is much more prestigious than that of marble. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Chinna, Meshem Rabbi Asi, Meshem Rabbi Yishmuel, Bar Rav Yitzchak, Mibnei Shu, Martiach. Reason why, what's Martiach? So the issue is, if you place it on top of that, look at Rashi says, Mibnei Shu Martiach, it's Alechem, four lines from the bottom left, it's Alechem, Umechamemo, Umemahamer, Lisapesh. Because if you were to have marble,
always cold, and metal is not as cold as the marble.
So that's why you place the lechem apanim on the, wait, which case? But we said the bread, we're never using lechem apanim on the marble, though. It must be a mistake here in the Mefarish, though. Because the lechem was never placed on anything marble.
No, before, when you bake it.
Yes, yeah, so right here. So the Hagos Vitzium says it's supposed to be basar. It should be the meat here. So you place the right. Because the Mefarsh is lechem. So it's a mistake. It's supposed to be basar. So you place the meat.
The stone is colder.
Exactly. So when you have the avarim of the carbon yachid, we had it placed on the marble table. Why marble? Because the Gemara explains, because it's cool. If it would be on gold or silver, it would contract the heat and it would make it boil and go bad and spoil very quickly. So we have a marble which keeps it cool. Okay. I think Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Shal Shachar Haya Nishchat Al Keren Mizrachas Tzfonis. So we said in the Mishnah that the carbon Shachar would be shechted on the northeastern part of the northeastern ring. So Mnahanimila, how do you know that the Shachar and Bin Arbaim are shechted in different places of the northern part of Muzbeach? So Amar Rav Chista, Damar Kra, the Patek says, Shnaim Leyom. Keneged Hayom, there should be two. It should be Keneged Hayom. What does it mean, Keneged Hayom? It should be Keneged the Shemesh, which represents the day. So that means in the morning when the sun is rising from the east, so then you have to shecht it in the western part, so you're shechting it towards that sun. And when it's setting in the west, so you want to shecht it on the eastern part in Bin Harbayim, so you're shechting towards the sun. That's the difference of Bin Harbayim versus Shel Shachar. Tanan Nami Hoch, the Brisa says the same thing. Shnaim Layom, Keneged Hayom, it means you want to shecht towards, against the day, against the sun. Ata omer neged hayom, you think against the day. O eina elachoa, so maybe it really means there's a din, you have to bring it twice a day, but nothing to do with the shemesh. This is the chiv to bring twice a day. Mar says, can't be. Because kishu omer, when the pasuk says, es hakeves echad haseh baboker, es hakeves hashenit haseh ben arbayim, harei chavas yom amar. That tells us there's a chiv to bring in the morning, then there's a chiv to bring in the evening. Ho, mani mekayim, what do I do with the pasuk shnayim liyom? That's unnecessary. It must be, it's a drasha, neged yom yushecht, next, against the sun. Okay, so how does this work? Talmid shal shachar in the morning, hayat nishchat al keren tzfonis maravis. Then shachar is shechted in the western part, which is going to go against the sun rising in the east. Atabashni, the second ring, on the west. V'shal bin harbayim, hayat nishchat al keren tzfonis mezrachas atabashni. And in the evening, you shechted on the eastern ring. This way, it's keneged, the shemesh, which is setting in the west. Okay, I think we're still good to do an Amun now, right?
So it means that the second ring and the sixth ring, like if you go from...
The second and the seventh, I think.
And the seventh.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Okay. Marnell says, Asar Dvarim Shal Achsandris Mokden Azes Zikne HaNegev. He asked 10 questions to the elders, the wise men of the south. So what were the questions? Amr Lehen, so he said to them, Min shemayim la'aretz rachak al mimizrach l'marv. Which is further? From the ground to the sky or from the east to the west? Which is a greater distance? So Amri Lo, the Ziknei Negev, responded back, mimizrach l'marv, from east to west, is wider. Why? Teda proved to you. When the sun's out in the east, everyone can look. It's so far away, it doesn't affect their eyesight. Chama b'marv, it's all the way out in the west. Hakol mestaklim, but you can look at it, it's not going to affect you. Chama b'emps, but if it's in the center, up in Shemayim, above, Rekia, ain't hakol mestaklim, but you can't look at it. You can't look it in the eye, it's too close. So we see that when Shemayim is much closer to us than when it's all the way out to the east or it's all the way out to the west. That's what the Ziknei Negev suggested. Chacham Omer, but the Chacham responded, Zev Zek Echad, they're both equidistant. How do we know? Shev Nemar, Kegavoa Shemaim Al Haaretz Vigomer. So this is a pasuk that appears in Tehillim. So it says, the next pasuk is, Kirachok Mizrach Memarav. The distance from Shemaim Laaretz is the same distance from east to west. Now, Yichad Minayu Nafish, if one of them is greater, Nichtav Tavayu Kevdu Nefesh. You should write the one that's greater. What does that mean? Let's look at the Mefarish here for a second here. So you look at the Mefarish, he says here, Kasav Echad Omer Kavoa Shemaim Al Haaretz, because of Echad Omer Kirachok Mizrach Mimarav, so says the Mefarish, Vim Lo Hayisab Midas An Shava, if they were not equal, Ela Mizrach Mimarav Rachok, the east to west was greater, Yoser Lama Achad Kasav Bimuat Bimida, Lo Hay Lo Laklal Omer Ela Hamruba. You shouldn't have said the smaller shear, you should mention the greater shear. Because what's the context of the pasuk? It's referring to the greatness, the gvur of the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's it's boundless. So if you're going to choose how great the shear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed is, it should have had the greater shear. So the fact that it says both them, it says kigavo shemayim ha'aretz, and it also mentions kirachok mizrach mimarav, must be that they're both the same exact distance. Okay, then the Gemara says ve'ela chama be'emsa rakia my time ain't hakol mestaklim ba. So if it's really true that Shemayim and the Rakia is the same distance to east to west, how come we can't look at it straight in the eye if it's above us? But when it's to the east, which is the same distance, we can look at it. So he says, my time ain't hakol mestaklim ba mishum dekoy lehedya la day lo kasi lemide. Nothing's covering it. When you look to the side, whatever the horizon, whatever, I don't know, a part of the airspace is there, blocks and dims some of the light. When it's up above, there's nothing blocking it at all. That was his first question. Second question he asked is, Amar lehen Shemayim nivru tchila o ha'aretz, which was created first, Shemayim or ha'aretz? So Amar lo, the Ziknei Negev said back to him, Shemayim nivru tchila shenema bereshis bar lakim es ha'shemayim ves ha'aretz, he created the Shemayim first. That answers that question. Third question he asks now, Amar lehen, he says, or nivru tchila o choshech, was light created first or was darkness created first? Amar lo, he says, they say back to him, Milsa da ain la pasa. This question has no answer. There's no solution. So the Nimrle, so Gemara asks, why didn't they tell him Choshech Nivra Tchila? That darkness was certainly created first. The Chsiv, as the pasuk tells us, by Aretz Haisa Sovavo, the Choshech. So Choshech came before Or existed. V'hadar, only afterwards does it say Vayom Elkim Nihi Or Vayhi Or. So that's what they should respond. And why did they not respond that way, Tim? Sabri, they thought Dilma Asi Lishule Mala Mala Malamata Malafin Mala Achor. They were concerned if they responded to this question, he would have asked greater questions, but they couldn't give answers to what's above the world, what's below the world, what came before HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, what came afterwards. These questions, where the Gemara in Chagiga says we can't ask such questions.
Why did that get this question?
So very good. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's the case, if that was their concern, Shemaim Nami Lo Nimrle, why did they answer the first question in the first place? So they said, Mekar initially, Savar Ikrei Baal Mahud de Kashal. He just asked one question, he'll answer one question. But Kevin, the Chazad, the Kader.
So that question is more, the answer is written very clearly with regard to Choshech. It doesn't say Hashem created, didn't create, it gets complicated because it just says.
No, it's pretty clear, I think, in Bereshis. No, because Choshech was mentioned first and Hior was mentioned afterwards.
It was mentioned, it wasn't discussed.
Yeah, but I don't think it's ambiguous here. But the Gemara says the reason why the answer to the first question is because they thought it was like one question he was bothered by. So they answered the one question. But Kevin, the Chazad, the Gahad, the Shal. Once he started thinking, he had a whole list of questions for them. Then they started getting nervous. Savri, then they said, Lo Neimalei, we're not going to answer this question anymore because Dilma Asi Lishulei, maybe he's going to ask the questions of Mala Mala, Mala Mata, Mala Fnim, Mala Achar. Then he asked the question, again, those were only concerns of how the world was created. Other questions they could ask. But related to Briyasa Olam, that's when it gets a little tricky. So he asked a different question, not related to Briyas Olam. Amar lehem Eden Miskari Chacham. Eden Mesh Lashon Eze. He switched a dal with the Zion. Eze, which is the person who's called a Chacham. Amar lehem, they said to him, Eze Chacham, Haroa Sanola, the person who could see and anticipate certain things from happening. Amar lehem Eden Miskari Gibor. Eze, who's called a Gibor? Amar lo, quoting the Mishnah Avos, Eze Gibor Hakovish Ez Yitzra. The next question was Amr Lahan Eden Miskari Asher, who's called a wealthy person. Amrulay Ezu Asher Asamech Bechelka, a person who's happy with what he has. Amrulay Ma Yavid Inish Viyechi, what should a person do and live? Amrulay Yamis Asmo, he should kill himself. If he kills himself, that way he will live. What does that mean? Rashi explains, it doesn't mean to kill himself. It means his Yashvil Asmo, he should humble himself. This way he will give him the life. Then he asks, Ma Yavid Inish Viyamis. How could a person who wants to kill himself, what should he do? So he says, Yechayis Asmo, he should Yagbias the Mefarsh, he should elevate himself, he should become a Baal Gaiva, and that's a quick way to die. Why? So Rashi explains, and Mefarsh explains, Mitoch Kach, from the fact that the guy was really becoming Magbi himself, elevating himself in such an egotistically way, Mitoch Kach, Yitnu Bo Habrios Ein Hara, you're going to look at him with an Ein Hara, V'Kanibo, they're going to get jealous, and this way, through the Ein Hara of Yamas, he'll die. That's the quick way to commit suicide. And then he says, Amar lehen, ma yavid inish biskabel abriyos. So what should a person do and be liked by brios, be liked by people? Amri yasei malka v'shalten, he should hate the government, hate the kings. And Rashi explains, biskablu dvar v'yavu oso. If he hates these people, people will like such a person and they'll accept his words. But Ava Adam says the Rashi here, Adam Ragula Dabrim Mlochim, Visarim Mikanimbo, person who's speaking to the kings, the presidents, politics, people are jealous of such a person and they're going to hate such a person. So Amr Leho, he says to them, Didi, Tavim Miditchu. So he says back to them, again, this is back to them, what I have is better than what you guys have. Yirachim Malko Vishalton, Yavativi Im B'nei Insha. If you are nice to the melech, so then they'll do nice to you, and that's a great way to have a very nice life. Okay, next question he has said. Amar lehen, he said to them, B'yama yar lemeidar or b'yavasha yar lemeidar. Is it better to live in the water, or is it better to live b'yavasha and to live on the dry land? Amar lehen, they responded back to him, b'yavasha yar lemeidar. It's better to live on dry land. Why? Dehok kol nachusa yama, anybody who goes out to sea, all the sailors, lo misra daitan, they don't have a clear mind, ad the salkan the basha, until they come down to the yabasha, they do not have a clear mind. So you see clearly, yabasha is greater than the yam. Amar lehem, we'll do one more, I think, here. Let's see. I don't want to get involved in this whole maisa here yet. Let's see. This maisa goes on for a while. Maybe we should, I think this one goes into this maisa. So let's stop here. And Mitzvah Shem tomorrow we'll pick up with this, and we'll after this Gemara, everything else just Mishnayos, the rest of the Masechta. So we'll pick it up tomorrow, we'll finish it, and then we'll make the same Mitzvah Shem on the night. We'll have to figure out the details. But, okay.